This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The White House begins its summit on countering violent extremism today. The conference comes in the wake of deadly attacks carried out across the globe. The shockwaves over the videotaped murder of a Jordanian Air Force pilot were especially deep in Southeast Michigan because he has relatives here. A large crowd recently gathered to mourn the pilot and call for an end to the self-declared Islamic State. They were from Metro Detroit's Arab American community. Osama Sablani is with us now. He's the publisher of the Arab American News. It's the biggest and most widely circulated Arab American publication in the U.S. Welcome back to the program, Osama.
Thank you for inviting me, Cindy.
Who spoke to the crowd at that rally in Livonia?
Well, I was one of the speakers. There were a couple imams, clergy from the Muslim faith, and two from the Christian faith, and also the Council of Jordan in Detroit. He's an honorary position, but he spoke as well, and also the head of the American Jordanian Society, and a few other community leaders from different backgrounds. The message was that we all stand together, that what happened with Muad al-Kassasi, the pilot, it happened before to other soldiers in Lebanon, to other people like in the reporters in Japan, to hundreds, to thousands, to tens of thousands of Iraqi and Syrians and Yemenis and Lebanese. So we all are united against the ISIS and against their criminal activities. They do not represent Islam. They do not represent Christianity. They do not even represent humanity. I don't know how these people came about. I have been in business for 30 years doing, reporting from the Middle East and here from around the community. I'm totally shocked, totally, and in disbelief that people like this exist in the world.
You know, Osama, you've been publishing the Arab American News, I know, for some 30 years. So much history has happened in the Middle East at that time. I remember speaking with you during Operation Desert Storm, the Gulf War in 1991, and thinking of what has happened in the years then and now. The Middle East is a region that's virtually synonymous with turmoil and bloodshed. What do you say to those who connect the Arab American community and perhaps even blame Muslims and Arab Americans for what ISIS is doing now?
I say that, you have to first know the reality of the situation on the ground, that Arabs and Muslims are the first victims of these animals. They have killed more Arabs and more Muslims than they have killed any other nationality. These are criminals, these are barbarics, and they have nothing to do with Islam, nothing to do with the Arab community or the Arab people. 350 million Arabs are in the Arab region, and they are very few people. But unfortunately, they are financed, well-financed. In your introduction, you made some important statement that needs to be addressed. First, these people, they have the money, the technology, the information, the weapons, and the logistics in order to conduct such highly expensive operations. They have occupied areas. They have controlled large space, large areas in Iraq, large areas in Syria. They're exporting oil and selling them in the market. We have to realize that there are people behind these people, and we have to know who they are and why are they doing what they're doing. When they videotaped in a very sophisticated way the burning of the pilot, Jordanian pilot, what they were trying to say, and they spread it over the internet, they were trying to tell us that we are brutal, we are going to kill anyone who stands in our face. Fortunately, the video present different views of what's happening. When you see the Jordanian pilot standing like an arrow, not bending, even he was starved 5 days before, and he was, assaulted and beaten. But the spirit of the Jordanian pilot was stronger than all their brutality. And that is what we need to do. We need to stand against these people. We need to point out who is behind them, who is financing them, who is giving them the support to do what they're doing. They're not alone. Mm. But I can tell you, the Arabs and the Muslims are their victims. They're not their supporters.
So we saw in this gathering in Livonia a very unified response from the community, interfaith speakers. So this unified response to the lieutenant's murder. Some might want to pose the question, Osama, why did that not happen back in August when the very first video was released showing James Foley beheaded? That was the first of what's become a horrifying string of videos.
We were unified, and we condemned it, and we took it to the streets of the city hall, you know, in front of the city hall in Dearborn, and we had a candlelight vigil, and all religious leaders were there, all community leaders were there from all walks of life. We did not get the coverage at that time. We got it today. You know, we have a public relation problem. I mean, we need to talk to the media more. The media need to put us in good light sometimes, not only when we are in a crisis. I think that this community has done a lot to condemn ISIS. We've issued so many condemnations of what ISIS has done in Iraq, killing the Christians, and Syria, destroying the churches and burning churches in Egypt as well. We need to tell the world that we totally condemn it. There is no excuse or an explanation for this other than they are a bunch of animals, and they are spreading fear and destruction.
Which is exactly their goal.
Yeah, they're destroying the culture, the beautiful culture of the Arabs, the history. You know, there are cities that are 5,000 years old that they are destroying. These are animals. These are not human beings. You know, you're insulting animals when you say that. They are criminals beyond your mind belief. I have never seen anything like this, even in movies, what they have done. And someone is financed. Something is happening.
Something sinister.
Radicalization process that has been going on for years. And we have been talking about this over and over to U.S. officials, to Arab officials. We have been saying that the money that is being spread around to these people from the Saudis needs to stop. Saudi Arabia, they produced the 19 people who came and bombed us on September 11th. Mm-hmm. We need to know that there is a radicalization process that has been supported by the Saudis for a long time. These people do not believe in the other point of view. It's their way or the highway. They do not believe that Islam should be any different than the way they think. The Wahhabis, the idea of the Wahhabis being the only people that believe in Islam the way they believe in Islam and anybody else is wrong, is very, very disturbing. I have witnessed it myself when I traveled to Saudi Arabia. When they say that no churches, no other mosque should be erected in Saudi Arabia, we should not have allowed this to happen. We should not have continued to say that the Saudi kingdom is a friend of the United States just because of the oil. We have sacrificed the well-being of humankind because we needed the oil. We could have had the oil and not all of this with it. We need to point out the radicalization process that started almost half a century ago. It is producing right now chaos in the world.
And we're seeing these young, disaffected young Muslims all around the world from hearing a very skillful message through social media. ISIS is using it very skillfully to recruit. You got to wonder, what will it take to keep these young Muslims from hearing the message and hopping a plane to get to Syria to join the jihadists?
What we need to do is we need to go to the source. In my opinion, treating symptoms is not the way to do it. You know, you have to go in and see what is behind those symptoms. What are the causes of those symptoms? We need to really sit down and talk frankly about what is happening and why these people have been radicalized like this. We have been supporting regimes that they have been brutal to their society. And on the other hand, we have been supporting regimes that they are very radical in their thinking. We have allowed them to do what they wanted to do. Look what they're doing right now to a blogger in Saudi Arabia. They're whipping him, you know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And now Prince Charles and everybody else is begging them to stop. We should say, if you give him one more whip, we're going to wipe you out, or we're going to stop dealing with you or talking to you or boycotting you. We need to take a stronger position on human rights issues. And we should not be selective in our views and how we see human rights. Now, human rights in Saudi Arabia is one thing. In Bahrain, mm-hmm. it's okay. Or in Israel, it's okay. No, it should be across the board.
Osama, if we're able to end the ISIS reign of terror and crush ISIS, and then what? Will another group rise to take its place?
As long as the source is open, we have mm-hmm. to close all the sources. We have to close the finances, the way of thinking, the way of teaching this kind of, you know, mentality. This is not coming from vacuum. It's coming from somewhere. You know, they have been educated, brainwashed, and taught for years, for decades. I have witnessed this. I have seen it. I have written about it. But nobody was listening. Even radicalization is not limited to the Middle East. It's all over the region because of the internet and because the Saudis had the money to spread their message across the world. They had the money. They can finance things. You know, they can, you know, the Al-Azhar, which is the head of the Sunni or the Muslims in the world in Egypt, they are really educating imams and religious leaders, and they're sending them all over the world, but they don't have the money to pay them. So who comes out and pay them? The Saudis. And whoever pays dictates. And that's how we see all these mosques around, you know, that they're dominated by the Saudis. They're teaching these hardliners, you know, and teaching them and radicalizing them.
And then meantime, you're seeing, let's say, the American public, who kind of make the mistake of viewing the Arab American as one amorphous group, all with the same views and priorities. So we're seeing that splashing back on people who...
Well, but I can't blame the American people for the ignorance. I'm sorry to say that because I'm speaking to a media and I'm a media of the media. The media should educate the American public that, no, this is not the case. This issue that we're suffering from and we're witnessing, the Arabs and the Muslims are suffering the most. Their homes are destroyed. Their lives are destroyed. Their kids don't go to school. They have no health system. They don't have any sanitation. They don't have any life. They are being killed and butchered by these animals. And we are looking at them and accusing the victim of doing all these things. This is not true. It's not fair. It's not fair. No, the Muslims and the Arabs are against this kind of behavior. But they do not have the power to change. They don't. They don't. We made a mistake when we went and invaded Iraq in 2003. And I said that because when you do this, you destroy the infrastructure of a country. Who will take over? Special interests. In this case, extremists. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened. That's what happened in Iraq. That's what's happening in Yemen. And that's what's happening right now in Syria. So we also take the blame as a country for our policy in the region that is confused. It is not focused. We don't know what we want. We're spreading chaos in the region because our vision is blurred, is not clear what we need to do in the region. So we have to revisit our policies.
Osama Sablani is the publisher of the Arab American News. You can find it online at arabamericannews.com. Osama, thank you so much for talking with us today on Stateside. I know we'll be talking again.
Thank you, Cindy. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.